the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
And the Promised Land, what is that? We've been learning about that on Wednesday night. What is the Promised Land? Israel. The promise of the Promised Land is inexorably connected to this promise. That's why the land of Israel is so important to the promises and prophecies of God. Is it any wonder why the rest of the world is still trying to divide Jerusalem and Israel even further? And that's one of the prophecies of the very end times, that in the very last days, all the nations of the world will be against Israel. This current presidential administration, in my opinion, has done more to offend Israel than any administration previous. And God is watching. You see, when they came into the land in the first time under Moses, God says in Deuteronomy 28, if you do the law, if you do what I say, then I'm going to supernaturally protect you. But if you fall into idolatry, then I'm going to bring in some people that are going to take you out of the land. Well, that's what happened. They were away for 70 years in Babylonian captivity, but then they came back. Idolatry was still a big problem and disobedience. And finally, when Jesus shows up on Palm Sunday, and everybody's laying the palm branches down and their coats down and singing the Hallel. Blessed is he, capital H, the Messiah, who comes in the name of the Lord. Jehovah. They're saying that he is the Messiah. It's his party. Every other time he had done a miracle, let's go tell everybody you're Messiah. He would say, not yet, not yet. It's not my time. He was waiting for the completion of Daniel chapter 9, April 6, 32 A.D., He was there standing on the Mount of Olives on the donkey on the day that Daniel said he would be there. And on the 10th of Nisan, when all the nation of Israel was choosing their Passover lamb in 4 days, the 14th, there's the Lord on the Mount of Olives. Where did the glory of the Lord depart under Ezekiel? From the Mount of Olives. Where did the glory return? The Mount of Olives. On the 10th of Nisan. Hey, Jerusalem, how about choosing me? Your Passover lamb. And as you know, he wept and stopped. Jesus, this is your party. Why aren't you more happy? Why are you weeping? Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, if only you would know what day this is. Had Israel embraced Jesus as Messiah on that day, the millennial reign of Messiah would have begun. But God in his infinite knowledge knew they were going to reject him. He goes down across the Kidron Valley, and instead of chunking out Romans, he turns over the table, and as a nation, Israel rejects her Messiah. And because of that, Jesus says, now you know what's going to happen, a whole series of events. And he prophesies, the Roman siege in the year 70 AD. And since 70 AD, where were all the people of God, or I should say the people of Israel, scattered in the diaspora? But in 1948, they came back. They were dispatriated out of the land because of disobedience. That's the Mosaic Covenant. They are back in the land May 14th, 1948, under this promise, this Abrahamic Covenant. The first Mosaic Covenant was, if you, then I'll. He tells Abraham, take these animals and cut them in half, and then you wait here for me, and he falls asleep. And coming through the severed halves of the animal, a blood sacrifice really, coming through is a what the Bible calls a smoking pot, or really it's a furnace. What it was fire. It was a picture of judgment. And it came walking to him, It was a visual image of a one-party covenant or agreement. Abrahamic covenant, how does Israel stay in the land? No matter what she does, because it's Abrahamic covenant, they will never be uprooted from the land again. That's why they keep winning in 54 and 67 and 73. And remember, Psalm 83 says there's another battle coming. No matter how many they have in their coalition rattling the saber, we're going to get you. And the Bible prophesies that even Russia will join Israel's enemy at one point and be utterly destroyed. That's all the promise? It surely is. The condition? Believe and receive the seed, Genesis 22, verse 18. The response? If they remain disbelieving, then they're not going to see it. But we know what's coming. Halfway through the Great Tribulation, Zechariah 12, verse 10 says, ding, they'll get it. And they will look upon me, Jehovah, whom they pierced. That's Old Testament. Wait a minute. When was God the Father pierced? When he was on a cross. Hosea chapter 5, the same thing. They will recognize that they blew it and they will call for Messiah to come, parenthetically. It's one of the reasons why anti-Semitism exists. That's because the enemy knows if they can get Israel to fail, to be wiped out, whether through the Nazis or anybody else, the enemy knows then Hosea chapter 5 is not going to happen. There won't be anybody to cry out, we know who you are, you are the Messiah, please come. It's one of the reasons why the enemy goes after Israel with such passion. The result, Hosea 5, Zechariah 12, 10, Jews are the human, or will be one day, the human agency of Messiah's physical reign in the millennial kingdom. So this dispensation, number 4, is on hold, because as a rule, Israel does not receive Jesus as Messiah. Let's go to the next one. Number 5. The next one is the law, the Mosaic covenant. That's Exodus 19. That's Mount Sinai. Strictly prescribed worship and sacrifice. The condition? Keep the law. Animal sacrifice. Response? Rampant idolatry. Result? They were dispossessed of the land. We just went over that. By the way, this dispensation of the law is on hold as well. How so? If we don't receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then the law, the dispensation of the law, is effective to us. I should say the judgment thereof. Now let's try a whole another way we're going to deal with people. Grace? No longer legal obedience to the law. How many of you can say amen to that one? The Holy Spirit's universal conviction of truth around the planet. And this Holy Spirit, the third portion of this one singular God, fills, leads, and empowers the believer. What's the condition about this dispensation? It's pretty simple. What? Believe Him. Response? If you believe, grace. Yet still, most will reject Him. The result? Heaven, if you are a believer, or eternal separation and judgment if you are not. Can you see God is trying from the first dispensation and now go to our next one, our last one, the 7th? Can you see what God is doing here? Hey, humans, how do you think you can do by sort of shouldering the responsibility of relationship with me and relationship to each other, government, if you will? Let's try the innocence. Let's try the next one. Let's try the next one, the next one, the next one. And we are currently in the dispensation of grace. It's pretty simple. Believe on Jesus Christ and the resurrection and the prophecies. Believe and receive. Yet how are the humans doing as a rule? We're not done. Let's go to the 7th one. The kingdom. The Davidic or King David covenant. 2 Samuel 7 verses 8 through 17. After the great tribulation, Lucifer is bound for 1,000 years. He's put in prison, probably over here on Dandini Boulevard, very likely. Now he's put into the abuso. And when Jesus returns to the planet, to the surface of the earth, he says something, and all of the non-believers who have had 7 years of angels flying around telling the gospel, one supernatural move after the other, and still the humans dig their heels in. Rocks fall on us, versus I receive the Lord. When Jesus comes back in Revelation 19, all the detractors are gone. Who's on planet Earth? Only those that now believe. Jesus now is on planet Earth. Earth has been restored to its Eden-like perfection. That's when the Bible says that the lamb lays down with the wolf and the lion eats straw like an ox, and your little tiny kids, the toddlers, are going to play with the asps or the vipers. Honey, put your cobra down. It's time for some whatever. And they will beat their swords into plowshares, etc., which is emblazoned on the United Nations. But they don't understand the time in which they live. That is not possible with the humans, only from the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Earth is restored to its Eden-like perfection. And now us, when God raptured before the seven-year tribulation began, we got a new body. We're in the balcony, so to speak. Where are we during the 7 years on transpiring on earth? We are in and at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We've got tapes on that. It's beautiful stuff. We come back with him, Revelation 19, it's all over. Earth is restored, new-bodied believers. Now, that's when we are ruling and reigning with Christ. You have a new body, remember. Jesus was the first at his resurrection. You have a new body now. You don't have any ability to even think of sin. And Jesus' resurrected body was multidimensional. He'd pop into a room and pop out. How did he do that when all the doors are locked? When you're multidimensional, I suppose it's not a tough trick. And we will be like him in that respect. We won't have any capacity to think about evil. We do eat. We don't have to. So we're hanging out with the humans. And the humans go, he's thinking about doing this thing. You're like, dude, no, you don't want to go there. What are you, Mr. New Body Believer? Maybe they'll have pet names for us. I don't know. But we will be literally the physical administration of Jesus' rule on the planet. Israel's conversion, Israel's restoration as a high priestly people are now for the human nations. The condition of this dispensation? Obey the King. Didn't he just show complete authority and power? There's no devil running around tempting people like Flip Wilson. You won't be able to say, the devil made me do it. You can't say that in the millennium. And when somebody dies at 100 years of age, they'll say, what a shame, what a tragedy. And the response, most will not follow. Now the first generation that made through, they're believers. But then they have kids, and then they have kids. And it's those subsequent generations that don't even know what a spiritual warfare situation is like. They don't know what it's like to have to work to pull a sustenance out of the ground by the sweat of their brow. They won't know what that's like. Can you see the full circle? They started in the Garden of Eden in innocence. It's full circle in the kingdom. We're practically back to Eden one more time. New-bodied believers are literal extensions of Jesus' administration. And then you have the Jews. They're shining light, glory, and example, what they were always supposed to be. And even in that perfect government, what will the humans do? At the end of the 1,000 years, Lucifer is let out. And most of them will go with Satan. His logic, I don't know what it'll be. Perhaps it's that Jesus is not cool. We're talking millennial reign here. We got animals not eating animals, etc., etc. We can do better. Don't believe him. This God of yours is controlling. I can do better. Listen to me. Bring to me your beefs and griefs. And most of the humans by it. And what will be the result? That's when Jesus blows the whistle, everybody out of the pool, we're done. This is the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire. And through all of these dispensations, can you hear, perhaps along with me, God's still small voice at every opportunity for humans to try to make stuff work? Can you hear the voice of the Lord? Do you trust me? Don't eat of the fruit. Okay, I'm going to eat of the fruit. On and on and over and over. I think there's one consistent thought and thesis. Hey, humans, I love you. Won't you do what I say? And in seven distinct dispositions, back to one last time, verse 10, God has now revealed to us his plan regarding the Christ. And here's the plan: to fulfill his own good pleasure at the completion of all the dispensations. He's going to finally make everything work. Why does human government stumble? Because it's not the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God. That's why. Steve, you said this was a prophecy concerning the election 2016. Proverbs 29 verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." That's what God says. And we have been studying the book of Proverbs. Amen? And hopefully you and I are getting a pretty good understanding of what God likes and what God dislikes. What is a man of wisdom and what is a fool? Do not hang with fools. Do not vote for fools. Proverbs 14 verse 34. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Please, Harvest Family Fellowship, are you listening within the sound of my voice? Vote righteously. Hey, come on, Steve. We're not asking for pastors. Have you heard that one? We're just asking for a president. The 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 29 of them had advanced theological degrees. I know we're not in Freedom Hall anymore in Philadelphia. And yes, we're not supposed to be electing pastors. But that does not excuse us from doing our homework. But there's only two choices, Steve. There's only two. Well, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Have you heard that one? Can I let you know that that's happened before to the people of God? In Numbers chapter 11, Moses, the people were complaining. They were saying, "We want meat, 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 meat. Give us meat, give us meat, give us meat. Meat. We're tired of this manna. Stupid manna. Manna every day. Manna cotti, manna burgers. Banana bread." I could go on. "Give us meat." Moses says, "Lord, it looks to me like there's only two choices. There's fish from the Mediterranean, or there's the livestock that we have more or less dedicated to the Lord. Lord, there's only two choices." God says, "Mo, you leave that to me." I bet Moses wasn't thinking about quail. Do you remember the story? There's only two choices. There's fish or there's livestock. "Mo, let me be God and you just do what I ask. Do you trust me?" And I bet nobody was thinking about quail. Thinking about the New Testament too, Acts chapter 1. Judas had killed himself. You know the story. Judas had killed himself. And Peter, the theologian, he says, "You know, we're supposed to have 12. And he was correct. God told them to go to the upper room and wait. Peter went, "I have a hard time with that." And he knew his Bible, knowing that there were supposed to be 12. So he says, you know what we ought to do is we're going to roll the dice. And there's only two choices. Justice and Matthias. So it's got to be between them. Oh, apostles need a brand new apostle. And the lot fell on Matthias, and if you will, he promptly disappears from the pages of Scripture. Nope, there's only two. There's Justice and Matthias. And God is saying, Pete, I got somebody that you wouldn't even believe if I told you. The apostle Paul. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for our time together in your word. This is a prophetic update, election 2016. Lord, I've done my very best to present what I believe the Bible shows. The bottom line is humans cannot govern themselves. Through every dispensation. And the reason they can't is because of sin, because of the enemy, and because of our own selfish lusts and lifestyles. Lord, I want to thank you with a great passion that in 1776, a bunch of men who knew your word and fasted and prayed, and they at least figured out a portion of that. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments were established among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. If men are in their Bible, and if men are in fellowship and under the authority of Jesus Christ and His Word, then this glorious republic will do well. But every one of the founding fathers, please look into their correspondences, you will see it. Every one of them realized that when this society defects from God's righteousness, even, in my opinion, the greatest political experiment ever enacted, it too will fail. And by the way, loved ones, this isn't about America. This is about God's purpose and God's plan. And God is way more concerned about your decision to follow Him. And every nation who departed from God's principles and plans have failed. Please don't hold too tightly. God can't fail America. He just can't. Please understand. God is way more interested in your eternity. And do you know this provision that was made for you? God Himself zipped up a human suit. He taught, He let the three-dimensional, four-dimensional characters get a hold and handle on Him. He demonstrated His multidimensional ability by seeing the future in advance and miracles of healing, etc. And then He said, I'm going to pay for all of your sins. And that's the real government. Have you given the presidency of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And here under the sun, don't panic either. There's not just two. There are more candidates out there. Please do your due diligence, research, and vote righteousness. No matter what the other people are saying. And when you stand in front of the Lord one day, and you go over what you voted for in 2016. Maybe you were able to say, I voted for candidate so-and-so because he represented the most righteous, non-foolish behavior. And then, Lord, I trusted you with the outcome. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.
been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form, or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.